Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing tonight? Episode number 320, Drink Until You Podcast, the only podcast that lasts until the last drop. How the hell is your Sunday going? How the hell was your work week? I hope everybody's doing okay. I hope you're safe out there. I am drinking a 7 with 7. I got a little cocktail here, guys. It's actually not 7-Up. It's Sprite. Don't tell anyone. But I got a little Seagram 7 with some Sprite. Very basic cocktail, but very good. It's going to go down smooth. So if you got them, drink them. Bottoms up. Cheers, everybody. Oh, my God. My lid almost fell off. That would have been a disaster. All right. So we got a little bit to talk about this week. MLB, what I've been watching. We got a little NHL to talk about. But first off, there's a little podcast I want you guys to go check out. Just came back to YouTube after being on Spotify for some months. It might have even been a couple of years by now. A little podcast called the Joe Rogan Podcast. He's going to take all the YouTube views away from all the other podcasts like myself, since he is such a big name. Actually, I don't even post my episodes on YouTube, so it doesn't matter to me. But you other podcasts, you're in trouble. Joe's back. But I'm actually loving it. Because I don't have Spotify. I've had Spotify before, but I mean, it's just music. You know what I mean? Like, the thing about YouTube is when you pay for their program or whatever, you get the videos and you get the music. It's like a dual threat that, you know, Spotify is cool. I like it. I just don't like the fact that you can only, if you don't subscribe, you can only get clips to songs. If someone sends me a song that's on Spotify, it's like I can only hear 30 seconds. So it's like, you know, me and my friends being musicians and stuff, we're always sending each other new songs and new music and stuff. I always request that they send it on YouTube, not Spotify. But if it's sent on Spotify, it's like I get, you know, 10 seconds of the song and it's like, I think I like this song. I don't really know. You know, then I got to go to YouTube and find it, which has it anyway. It's like, okay, so why would I use Spotify? If I can get videos, if I can get music all on this app, why would I even use Spotify? So I don't pay for Spotify. I haven't been watching Joe Rogan or listening. He is back on YouTube. I'm super excited about it, man. Like, I love the Cat Williams episode he just put out. I think that was the first one he put out after being back on YouTube. I love the Cat Williams episode. Obviously, like, you can tell, even from Cat's stand-up, he's just an intelligent person, you know? But it's hard to know, like, with that intelligence, you know, what kind of stuff is he researching, you know? Like, what is he looking at on his own? What kind of books is he reading when he's on his own, you know what I mean? So it was kind of a nice little look into, I guess, Cat's brain and what he thinks about and what he has researched. And I don't want to say the meaning of life because he didn't really give that, but, you know, I guess what drives him, you know, what conspiracies or whatever it may be, you know, what interests does he have? So it was really eye-opening in that way. And I love their conversation. Cat seemed a little reserved at first, but eventually opened up. I think there was a little bit of controversy between Cat and Joe once upon a time. Just slight controversy. It was like Cat thought Joe didn't want him on a show or something. And Joe, you know, once he got him on there, he's like, no, that's not it. It's just we've been like two ships passing in the night. You know, we haven't had a chance to be on this podcast together. So, you know, obviously, thank you for coming, blah, blah, blah. It was just a really great episode. The Kevin James episode. I love that one too. You know, it's like you see these celebrities like Kevin James, for example, and you just think success, you know, like he had a hit sitcom there for a good couple of years. I don't know if it was number one, but it was a top rated one, King of Queens. I like that show. It's pretty good. But you just don't think of, I guess, celebrities and athletes and things like that. You don't think of them having problems and having anxiety and all this stuff. Like, Kevin James is such a nice, genuine guy. Like, he laid it all out. in front of Joe, which they've been good friends for a long time. But even to this day, Kevin James is saying, you know, if he's not doing stand-up in front of his crowd, you know, the people who came, who paid to see him specifically, they know he's going to be there. They know he's the headliner. That's his crowd. If he's not playing in front of his crowd, he's not comfortable. You know, anything kind of outside the box or going, you know, in front of a new crowd gives him anxiety. And it's like, you see this guy who's, I mean, probably got everything he wants in the world, dude. Like, he can travel anywhere. He can move anywhere, you know. It's weird to see people like that with anxiety. It makes it unique because you realize, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously, we're all just human. Like, we all have our flaws. We all have our hang-ups, our shit, you know. Money doesn't fix that. You know, you got to work on stuff like that. And it was very apparent. And, that just made me love Kevin James even more. He's just such a genuine, open guy, you know, about how he's feeling or what he's going through or, you know, his diet. He talked a little bit about his diet. I identified totally with what he was saying. It's like, can I get in shape for a movie? Absolutely. What was the UFC movie he did? He was in great shape for that movie. He looked fantastic. But it's like he can't find the motivation. And I think that's a big problem with a lot of people, is finding that motivation to keep going to the gym or keep writing that book or keep writing that album or, you know, whatever it may be. Keep doing that podcast, if you will. Just a sweetheart of a human being. It's not that I didn't like Kevin James before. I did. I was like, yeah, he's cool, whatever. But this just made me just over the top. Like, I really, really like this guy. He's just a genuine down-to-earth celebrity. You know what I mean? Fame and fortune. But he's just like everybody else, man. He's just like everybody else. with some great stories too. You know, they had some great stories on that one. I highly recommend going to check it out. The one I was watching today, Christopher Rufo, they kind of got into this political thing. And as you guys know, I don't get too political on this show. I try to steer away from it. That's what I'm trying to distract you guys from, all the fucked up shit in the world, all the political BS and arguing and hate and, you know, all this and that. But they said something today that really, I've been thinking about for a while. I didn't know if I would ever talk about this on the podcast. I didn't really plan on talking about it on the podcast just because, you know, I want to keep it light and all this and that. But they were basically talking about this thing happening you know, they're doing these weird things at elementary schools in some states where they'll do like a drag show in front of fourth graders, you know what I mean? Or, you know, there's a certain child and it's their birthday and they're getting a lap dance from a whatever, a drag queen. And look, I'm not hating on you if you are transgender, if you just like to dress in women's clothes, if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're bi, it doesn't matter to me. The thing that does really matter to me is the children, like how early they're exposed to shit, you know, and you can't stop them. Like, once you get a kid a cell phone, it's over. Like, they're going to see all the bad stuff. So it's kind of, I mean, that's on you as a parent at that point. That's your choice. In a way, if you're going to give them access to that kind of, I mean, you can try to limit it, you know, you can try to do the parental controls and everything, but I mean, there's ways around it. You might not know the ways to get around it. But kids are smart, man. Once you put these things in their hands, they know how to unlock the phone. Like my daughter, you know, even at 3 years of age, you know, like she could have unlocked my phone if I would have given the opportunity for her to see. It's just a pattern, you know what I mean? It's not like she even knows the numbers she would be punching. It's just a pattern, you know? If she can figure out that pattern, then she's good, and then she can get into the parental controls, and she can, you know, change things the way she wants to and view whatever she... It's just a slippery slope. It can be a super slippery slope with the tablets and the phones and all this and that. But, so yeah, they're talking about, you know, kids and, having all this stuff happen to them and just kind of the sexualization of children, which is weird to say and gross to even speak out loud on this podcast. And they were kind of batting back and forth, you know, all these reasons, why would you do that? And, you know, what would be the purpose and all this and that. I've been thinking on this for a while. I know exactly the purpose, and it's kind of convenient timing too, because, with the whole Epstein list coming out, you know, and we're starting to see who's a real piece of shit. If you had anything to do with that island, if you flew to the island, like, you're just a bad person. You didn't go there to just watch movies and eat cupcakes. We know what the fuck you were doing. You know what I mean? And it's all kind of happening around the same time. And I know, I feel like I know what the agenda is. And it's basically, and I sent a comment on to the Christopher Rufo, Joe Rogan episode. And this is basically what it said is, you know, I think they're just trying whatever political party is in support. I hate to say Democrats, but it feels very Democrat, you know. I'm sure there's great values in the Democratic Party that you could pull from, just like there's great values in the Republic, any party. There's great values somewhere you could pull from. This is not one of them, in my opinion. But basically, it seems to me that there, you know, the political party pushing for this kind of stuff to happen, where kids are getting lap dances and they are watching drag shows and they are in fourth grade, it's, you know, doesn't add up. The reason they're doing this stuff is to, like, muddy the waters, you know what I mean? Like, muddy the waters, like, blur the lines on what's right and wrong. If you can blur the lines enough for long enough and you know, try to normalize a lap dance to a child, or, you know, normalize some book that talks about sex that they can rent from the library at their elementary school, if you can do that for long enough, you're trying to normalize it, basically. You're trying to muddy the waters. That way, you know, when it comes out that such and such politician, you know, is into underage, whatever, boys or girls, you know, whatever politician it comes out, it's like, oh, well, that's not so bad. It's kind of normalized now. You know, did you hear about that school in New York where they let the kid get a lap dance? Isn't that way worse than what? No. It's all bad. And I think that's all it is they're just trying to, like I said, blur those lines of right and wrong. You know, that way when the shit hits the fan and we do start figuring out who's been doing this fucked up shit and what organizations have been doing this fucked up shit, hopefully by then they've been doing the little drag shows and talking to kids like they're adults. Hopefully they've been doing that for long enough and they can say, oh, well, that's not a big deal. That's all it is. They're trying to make the bad shit that they've done less of a big deal because it's, quote, normal now. And I'm not buying it. I proudly put my comment on that, you know, and it's just an opinion. I could be way off, but I don't think I am. You know, people don't just do shit to be nice. You know, people don't just do shit because, oh, this is going to help the kids so much. No, it's going to help you when you get busted because you like little kids, you fucking weirdo. You know, and people are, you know, people are saying it's a, you know, it's like being born bipolar, or, you know, you can't help what you like. And I do get that to a certain extent, but, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong at the end of the day. You know, I'm not supposed to, well, let's not use me as an example because I don't smoke meth. People aren't supposed to smoke meth. It is illegal, but do they do it? Yes. You know what I mean? Like, and do they know they shouldn't be doing it? Probably yes. It's the same thing. You might be, I can't believe I'm even saying this on my show. You might be attracted to little kids, but the second you act on it, that's what makes you wrong. You know, I could, you know, find somebody's debit card on the ground has the full numbers on there. They even wrote the PIN on the back. It's not illegal to hold on to that card. The illegal part comes when I use the card to make a purchase. That's stealing. Right then, I've started stealing. That's the thing about it. If you can't resist those urges to do something that is illegal and wrong on that level, you know, the whole meth thing, I'm not saying it's okay to smoke meth by any means. I don't think anyone should do it. I think it's horrible for people. It ruins your life. But at least you're not injecting someone else. At least with that, you're injecting yourself. You're fucking up your own shit. You're not fucking up some, you're not injecting yourself and then fucking up some little girl too. It doesn't work like that. You know, that's where it gets bad. When you're fucking up somebody else's, the rest of their life, that's when it's even worse. You know, both illegal. Yes, meth and pedophilia, both illegal. But being a pedophile just takes the cake. You're done, dude. You know, if that's what you're into, you better fucking resist. That's all I'm saying. Go watch the Joe Rogan podcast. It is back on YouTube. That's as political as I'll be. If I ruffled your feathers, I don't know what to tell you. You don't have to listen to me. You know where the pause button is. You know how to not search Drink Until You podcast, you know? I'm not trying to, like I said earlier, I'm not trying to discriminate on people who might be trans. That's fine. If you feel like you're really a woman and you were born a man, that is not for me to judge. That is not for me to say. But when you start, you know, when you start drawing, you know, bringing kids into it, that's when I have a huge problem with it, because they're innocent. And, you know, we don't let kids, I could just go on. We don't let kids smoke cigarettes when they're 7 years old. Why should they have a choice, you know, whether to inject themselves with certain hormones if they're 7 years old too? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. And I know I have a lot to learn on the whole subject. I haven't dove too deep, but just on the front of why this is becoming a thing, I think I know why. That's it. I gave it to you guys. So anyways, let's take another drink. Let's move on to lighter topics. I really didn't want to talk about that, but I just had to say it. Just what I think. That's what I have this platform for. Cheers, everybody. Maybe the booze will make us forget all the politics. All right, moving on. A little bit of MLB. No, I have not been watching any spring training. I've been scoreboard watching. I know the Rangers are doing pretty good in spring training, which is fine, which is great. I don't put too much stock into it. I'm happy for them, of course. You know, if they could go undefeated all through spring training and all season, I would be happy. You know, that'd be great. Great season. That's not going to be the case ever. Just too many games, too many variables. So in place of it, what I have been watching is, you hear these names in baseball all the time. Just growing up and passing. You know, and you never really have an opportunity to watch, you know, all of them. Like, I'm a Rangers fan. Obviously, I've grown up my whole life being a Rangers fan. You know, I've definitely seen other teams play, but it's not like I have the broadcast right in front of me for the Boston Red Sox, for example, or the New York Yankees. So it's like you hear about these dominant people. You know, it's different now as an adult. Like, I make it a point to watch a New York Yankees game, you know, to see, you know, just what they're playing with, you know. But as a kid, you know, it's all Rangers, and you hear names trickle in. Obviously, old names, Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, you know, old school names like that. Bo Jackson, Ricky Henderson, King Griffey Jr., what's his name? Cal Ripken Jr. You know, these are all names, but I'd be lying if I said I watched even 90% of Cal Ripken Jr.'s games. I didn't. Or Ken Griffey Jr.'s games. I didn't. I knew of their greatness. I respected them a lot. But you don't really know kind of their mentality or what they do until, for this player, for example, years and years later, Pedro Martinez, you know, I didn't really know. I knew he's a great pitcher and everybody loves him and stuff, but I didn't know much more than that. Well, I've been going down a rabbit hole of just watching YouTube shorts of Pedro Martinez pitching. And dude, it is so cool. Because, you know, you start finding out those little secrets. He's not playing anymore, obviously, but he's willing to give up secrets now that he probably wouldn't have said, or maybe he did say in his career. I don't know. He probably would have leaned toward not saying just for the fact that you don't want to give the hitters any help. You know what I mean? You don't want to clue them in on anything that you're going to do. So why would you talk about it while you're actively doing it? But now that his career is come and gone, he's, you know, coaches Little League. He goes on to the MLB talk shows. And he does this really, really cool thing of, like, holding the ball in his right hand. He's a right-handed pitcher. And, you know, if there's a guy on second or whatever trying to steal a sign or whatever, he's going to see the way Martinez is holding the ball, and it's going to look like a fastball. But literally, during Martinez's windup, he will change his fingers on the ball to make it a completely different pitch. So that way, if there's signs going, you know, from second base to home plate, he's trying to clue in his hitter what he's going to throw. They actually have no idea because Martinez is changing his fingers on the ball, which changes the pitch naturally. Last second, literally while he's throwing it, his fingers are changing and then he throws the ball. So it's like, you could have told him fastball, but if he just threw the changeup, you're going to be way ahead of it as a hitter because your guy on second just told you it's the fastball. You know what I mean? It was just really cool. I never knew, that was a thing, you know, just, you know, I know they try to, you know, put the ball in the glove and protect it that way so you can't see how their hand is wrapped around the ball to get any kind of clue of what they're going to throw. That's a strategy, but eventually it's got to come out and you got to make your motion to pitch, you know. It would just seem hard to be on second and give like a last second, like it's a fastball, you know, like how would you signify that? Even if they're not switching last second in their hand, even if the pitcher is putting the ball in his glove and then as soon as he pulls it out for the windup, you see it's a fastball. Is that enough time to let the hitter know it's a fastball coming? I don't know. But yeah, I just thought it was so cool and so smooth. And like I said, you always hear these names, but you never know what makes them great, I guess, until you kind of sit down and watch videos. And Randy Johnson videos are popping up a little bit more in shorts, you know, Randy Johnson shorts, which I've always loved Randy Johnson. You know, you can tell he's a good pitcher. You know, he gets a lot of guys out. It's just, you know, what exactly makes him great and what's in his arsenal. It's really fun to like start digging up, you know. So that's pretty much what I've been doing in MLB. I'm going to have to find this channel. Hopefully this doesn't get too loud on my recorder. I have to find this channel for you guys if I can. It's basically, I'll just describe what it is because I forgot to write down the name of the channel and you'll probably be able to find it. So I've been shouting out for a couple of weeks, CinemaSins. You know, this guy just goes through movies and critiques all the stupid shit, all the, you know, incontinuity, all that. It's a fascinating, really, really funny channel, especially if, like if you grew up watching the movie or you love the movie, you know, have seen it a million times. I mean, I guarantee he'll point out something you never noticed before. So like CinemaSins, this is a completely different channel. I'm so sorry I don't have the name. I really wish I did. I'm sure you can find it though, but this guy does basically the same thing just with sports movies. You know, the one he just did, he was born in 1984, and I only know this because I watched his video. He's born in 1984 and he did all baseball movies from 1984 up until current day 2024. At least all that he could think of or that he had seen or whatever it is. It's probably a good 20 to 25 movies, I would say, that he reviewed within like an hour episode. But the cool thing about this guy's channel that I don't know the name of, sorry, is that he's looking for them actually playing baseball in the movie. Or if it was a football movie, he's looking for them actually playing football in the movie and them being on the 25-yard line, and the next play they're on the 20 somehow. And he's, you know, he's basically pointing that kind of stuff out. So it was so cool. He went through, I mean, you name it, Rookie of the Year, Angels in the Outfield, Mr. 3000, which is honestly one of my favorite, like, Bernie Mac movies of all time. Just all of them, dude. I don't think he did Bad News Bears, anything like that. It basically had to be, like, Major League Baseball in the movie. Or he did, like, maybe a minor league or major league. Like, he didn't do Bad News Bears because they're just a bunch of kids playing in a rec league. You know, he didn't do anything like that. But it's really cool. He goes through and, like, he's calling out the movies. You know, like, he hit the ball to left field. But, you know, when you see the camera pans actually close to the ball, it's going to center field. And, you know, obviously doesn't make any sense. And, you know, he just goes on and on about how either good or shit the movie is at making the baseball real, you know. A lot of CGI stuff in there. There's a lot of movies with CGI baseballs, and you can tell. I mean, it just floats away instead of, I don't know, when you hit a baseball, it just looks different than CGI just can't do it justice. You know, it looks a lot more floaty when the CGI is doing it. I will find out the name of the channel. I'm not going to look it up now. I don't want to press a bunch of buttons on my recorder to, like, make a bunch of noise while I'm doing this episode. But I bet if you typed in baseball movie and review, I bet you could find his channel. Really, really good channel. Sorry, whatever your name is. I didn't remember your channel to shout out, but I'll get it eventually. I'll get the channel name eventually. But it's a really, really good one, dude. Super fascinating. Like, just stuff you wouldn't even think about normally, unless it's, you know, like I said, the CGI thing, it's easy to tell. That's not a real baseball. These players are faking. And that's the other thing he's critiquing, too. Like, if the players, the actors in the movie can actually play ball. A League of Their Own was in there, too. And those, go watch that movie. Those ladies can play ball. They either came in knowing how to play baseball or had enough training as actors to learn how to play, you know, throw a ball. Rosie O'Donnell, she can throw a freaking baseball. Absolutely. They didn't have to CGI that for her. I don't think they would have anyway, but yeah, I love that. I love it when they get as close as possible to having it, you know, real. There are some movies, obviously, with, like, big, you know, major league players in there, big names. But it's a little more fascinating when it's the extras and you don't, you know, you have to either train them to make it look good, make it look realistic, you know, whatever. Pretty cool, man. And it's cool how they actually get them sometimes, not in every movie. You can tell the people that, you know, have never played outfield, but in this particular movie, they're running toward the outfield wall to catch a ball, and they slow up because they're, you know, not used to it. They're scared. They don't know how to go full force. You know what I mean? What do they call it? What do coaches call it? Going all out. Selling out. That's what it is. If you're not selling out going toward that fence, it's kind of obvious you're an actor. You know, you're an actor playing a part. But it's really cool when they do get actors playing parts and they nail it, you know. What's the Randy Quaid one? No, I'm sorry, not Randy Quaid. Dennis Quaid. What's the Dennis Quaid? The Rookie. The Rookie, yeah. He actually critiqued Dennis Quaid's pitching motion, you know. And from his opinion, he was like, it's not too bad. You know, it's not too bad of a pitching motion. It's believable enough. You know, there's certain movies where there's just no follow through on the throw. And it's like, there's no way this guy is a pitcher. You know, even if he's coming in late innings, no, with that follow through, he's barely making it to the plate. You know what I mean? Really, really good channel. Wish I knew the name. Type in those three keywords. I bet you can find it. Let's take another drink. Cheers, everybody. All right, moving on to the NHL. My Dallas Stars taking one from the Ducks, who aren't a good team. Taking one from the Kings, who are a decent team. We got a little winning streak going here, man. We're still atop of our division. I'm liking how it's coming together. I like the D-man, the trade we got. Tanev. I think it's coming together. You know, the season's getting there. It's weird because there's been so many times with the Stars this season where I've been irritated, like, after a game. But really, when you look up and you look at the standings, you're like, I don't know. It's not that bad. You know, even the bad games we've had, even with all that, it's not that bad. You know? So yeah, my Dallas Stars is doing their thing, humming along, as they say. Up in Philly, this is a pretty funny video. Tortorella, who has a reputation in the NHL of just saying whatever he wants, you know, head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers right now. He's been the coach of several teams, but he just has this reputation of kind of being a hothead, you know, kind of not putting up with the media shit. If he doesn't want to answer a question, he'll make you feel stupid, whatever. Just kind of a jerk, you know, in a way. He can be a jerk, you know, for whatever reasons. Teams love to play for him. Players love him. Players love to play for him to a certain extent. I'm sure he's bumped heads with some players before. But most recently, dude, he got kicked out. He got thrown out of a game. I guess he was mouthing too much to the ref about a call that was made. And the ref is basically like, you're gone. He makes the announcement over the PA system. And Tortorella won't leave the bench, dude. I've never seen a coach do that before. So, you know, the refs, after they make the announcement that he's out of the game, you know, he's being tossed or whatever, Tortorella's over there and he won't leave the bench. And the ref is like, you need to go. Like, you've been, and you can see Tortorella, like, they have the camera just on him. He's like, fuck off. I'm not going anywhere. And for like a good 5 minutes, they're trying to start the game after he's been thrown out. But he won't leave. He won't leave the bench. And obviously the refs have the ultimate power. Like, if he were to not leave the bench, like, legitimately never have walked off and just stayed there, I mean, they probably would have made the Flyers just forfeit. You know what I mean? Which is a worse look than getting kicked out of a game. You kind of become like a hometown hero when you get kicked out of the game, because it's like, yeah, he's standing up for us, you know. He's not going to put up with it if they're making bad calls or whatever. You know, it kind of gives you a little boost, you know. You're like, oh, I like this guy, you know. He's sticking up for us, whatever. But, dude, they argued for a good 5 minutes with him behind the bench, and it was awesome. I've never seen a coach do that before. They told him probably a good 5-6 times, you need to leave. He's like, I'm not fucking leaving. Like, you can't hear him, but you can see the words he's saying. They're like, you need to leave. He's like, no, no, this is bullshit, dude. He's just going off, standing his ground, making a stink as much as possible in protest. I would put it the equivalent of a baseball manager walking out to home plate with the home plate umpire and like kicking dirt onto his shoes. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of disrespect is basically what he was showing. He's like, no, I'm not leaving. So after, you know, whatever, 5-8 minutes, somewhere in there, he finally does walk down the tunnel. I'm sure they threatened him with a forfeit or whatever, which is kind of like, if he would have taken that, it's like a fuck you to the players, his own players, you know, who have prepared for this game and, you know, whatever. It did not work out in their favor either way. They lost the game. Their coach got thrown out of the game. I've never seen a coach do that before. And I thought it was hilarious, you know. He stood his ground more than a lot of coaches would. Now he's facing a fine or something for not immediately leaving. Whatever. I'm sure he doesn't give a fuck. It's just really, really funny to see that happen. I've never seen a coach do that before. The next thing we have, this guy, Cousins, once again, and this happened, I meant to talk about this probably like two episodes ago. So it's been a while since this happened, but this little weasel, dude, like, he literally did the equivalent. So something happened. I didn't watch the game. I didn't watch the play that, you know, sent Cousins down to the ice. I didn't see any of it. I saw the aftermath. When the video starts that I saw, Cousins is laying on the ice and the rest of the team is is fighting with it. You know, the two teams are fighting with each other. They're going at it, you know. Something, I guess somebody maybe laid out Cousins, whatever, but here's the part that really irritates me about it, and I will wholeheartedly say this does not belong in the NHL. Like, this little bullshit piece of shit move that he pulled does not belong in the NHL, because in my opinion, NHL players, they are hard men. They are all hard men. It doesn't matter if it's pretty boy Mike Modano, Zdeno Chara, I mean, Shane Chirla, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, hockey players are hard men. You know what I mean? So what Cousins did, I guess somebody hit him, knocked him down to the ice. You know, pretty much the bench is clear. Everybody's brawling on the ice or has a partner to, you know, fight with, whatever. And Cousins is laying on the ice because of whatever just happened. Well, as soon as everybody's back is turned, Cousins looks up from the ice and hops right up to jump on one of the opposing team's players. I'm like, you little effing weasel. That's all he is. He's a little weasel. And I like the Florida Panthers, dude. You know, when the Florida Panthers were doing so great a couple of years ago in the playoffs and had a chance to maybe go all the way, which, you know, they didn't. They got really close. They had a great season. I was rooting for the Florida Panthers. This is not a Florida Panthers issue. I love the Florida Panthers. I don't love Cousins. Cousins is, no. That is just such, I can't think of any other word than weaselly thing to do. He's such a weasel for doing that shit. Pretending to be hurt on the ice while everybody's getting in a fight for him, only to jump up seconds later to join the fight. Like, were you hurt or were you not? And obviously he wasn't hurt. That's why he got up to get in a fight. It's like, this little asshole, he's just losing and probably has lost so much respect amongst players in the NHL, amongst fans of the NHL. We just don't have room for this bullshit in the NHL, dude. It's ridiculous. Leave that shit for men's soccer. Leave that bullshit for men's soccer. They do that. We don't do that. They do that. Let them have that. Even women's soccer don't do that shit, dude. They're fucking pulling ponytails, elbowing titties, you know what I mean? Like, they're hard. That's what you want to see. I want to see good, hard competition. You don't ever see an NFL, like, if an NFL player is laid out on the ground, trust me, they are hurt. Because that's what you're going to have to do to them to take them out of the game. You're going to have to physically hurt them in order for them to stop playing the game. If they're not hurt, they're getting up and they're ready for the next play. I hate that, dude. I hated seeing that video. And obviously, it's from the fucking, it's from the guy. He's like the new Corey Perry. Who did people have an issue with? Oh, Avery. You know, just that little weaselly, you can't stand it. I bet some people even on his own team can't fucking stand him. You know what I mean? Just because of that cheap bullshit. I hate that. I never want to see that. If you're hurt, yeah, lay your ass there, dude. Don't get up. Let the medics come over and fix you up. Then you'll be good. But if you're not hurt, get up and keep moving. Get up and join the scrum. Don't wait for everybody's back to be turned and then jump on someone. Like, what a fucking bitch, dude. I will 100% call him a bitch. I've got a good 40 pounds on Cousins. I bet I could take him. But I love the Panthers. Let me just throw that out. If you're a Panthers fan listening to this, don't think I'm talking shit on your team. I'm not. I'm talking shit specifically on that player. And everybody, it's not just me. Like, I'm late to the party saying this shit. Those guys at Spitting Chiclets, dude, they've been on his ass. They've been on this dude. It doesn't help that these are two former players, dude. Like, they know what's up. They're not going to put up with this bullshit. Everybody sees what's coming with this kid. It's just not a good look for the organization. It's not a good look for Cousins himself. It's not a good look for the NHL. And I do love the fact that the NHL, you know, makes their referees call out diving. Yes, if you're going to dive and you're going to make it harder for me to do my job, we're calling you for it and you're going to go sit in the penalty box. I love that. That deters people from doing that bullshit. So anyway, that's a little bit of that. Something else I didn't talk about a couple of weeks ago. This just kind of struck me as funny, just for how everything played out. Patrick Kane of the now Detroit Red Wings, longtime Chicago Blackhawk. I mean, it was him and Taves every single season. No matter who was on that team, it was at least him and Taves. You know, which I do love that pairing. I love them too. They want to... How many cups did they win together? One or two? It might have been two. But, anyway, Patrick Kane comes back to his former, you know, home team, the Blackhawks, with, you know, wearing a Detroit uniform now. And it's just, it's such a funny thing because all the fans respect, unlike Cousins, all the fans respect Patrick Kane. All the Chicago Blackhawks fan respect Patrick Kane. They actually did a little like display up on the Jumbotron for him, you know, like thanks Kane for, you know, everything, blah, 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 first time back, whatever. So it's gotta be just such a weird thing to be like a Blackhawks goalie, especially for this specific game. Like, the Blackhawks had the game in hand, about to win. Detroit comes back to score, to push it to overtime. I can't remember if it was a shootout. It's been so long now. This is why you should talk about topics when they first happen. I can't remember if it was a shootout. No. It was the 3v3. 3v3 overtime. Detroit in Chicago's house. And none other than Patrick Kane got a breakaway chance, and I mean, the smoothest shot you've ever seen, dude. Like, he's got silky hands, as Razor would say, dude. He just manipulated the puck like nothing else. And I mean, he made it look easy, too. The way he roofed that puck was just so simple, and it was like game over. And the funny thing about it, like the weirdness of it, was I'm thinking from the Blackhawks goalie's perspective, you know, Patrick Kane comes back, you know, fans are excited for that. Patrick Kane scores the overtime goal to beat the home team, who is Chicago. And lastly, the home crowd, who is Chicago, gives Patrick Kane, who now plays for Detroit, a standing ovation for like, I don't even know how many minutes it was. It was loud, dude. It was so loud, and it was so like passionate. The fans gave him a standing ovation. I'm just like thinking about the goalie situation. He's like, wait, we lost the game, but now they're applauding and giving a standing ovation to the guy who scored the game-winning goal. It's just a weird thing, and I'm sure, you know, the goalie didn't take it too hard. It's just a weird dynamic. You know what I mean? That Patrick Kane can come into a town, come into his former town on an opposing team, score the game-winning goal on you as the goaltender, and the home crowd gives him a standing ovation for it. You know? Like I said, I'm sure the Blackhawks goalie didn't take it hard. He knows who Patrick Kane is. It's not a big deal. It's just if someone were new watching that specific game, like maybe this was their first ever NHL game to watch. It's like, wait, why is the crowd giving their guy a standing ovation for beating us in overtime? You know what I mean? Like, it would be such a mind fuck as to why all this shit's happening. But they love Kane in Chicago, obviously. to give him a standing ovation after beating their team at home, who have now been eliminated. By the way, I saw that today. Blackhawks are officially eliminated. And that's how you know it's getting close, people. When teams start getting eliminated from the playoffs, that's how you know it's close. That's how you know we're coming down to the wire. It's going to be a great playoff season, end of the year. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. I mean, it's all the teams have been working all season on what they're going to do when they make it to the playoffs. You know what I mean? And it's not just regular hockey at that point anymore. It's a ramped up version. You know what I mean? Which makes it more exciting. I mean, bigger hits, you know, more crucial goals. Like, it's going to get intense, bro. Like, it's going to be fun. I can't wait. And baseball starting then too. Basketball playoffs will follow shortly behind it. Let's go Mavs. Speaking of Mavs, what an intense game the other night against the Miami Heat, dude. We came out early just getting our ass kicked. Like, Miami was just three after three after three after three. And it's like, we're attempting threes, but we're like, I don't even know what number we, it was like 3 for 10 or something crazy, like not good for us. And we battled and we fought. And I will say for the Mavericks, for what it's worth, I see this constantly with them. You know, it's like, I feel like sometimes other teams in the past, whether it be baseball, whether it be hockey sometimes, whether it be football, it's like we kind of give up. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of hang our head in defeat. And it's like, oh, well, you know, we didn't get this one. It doesn't seem, and I know some Mavs fans might disagree with me, it doesn't seem like the Mavericks do that. It seems like the Mavericks lay it all out. Sure, we're going to have some shit games sometimes. But it seems like the Mavericks just lay it out there night after night. And as a DFW sports fan, I appreciate that more than I could put into words right now. I appreciate that because I feel like that's what I've grown up on, you know, in this city, is working hard and, you know, making yourself and, you know, not getting down and keep pushing forward no matter what. Times are tough, keep pushing forward, you know. So I really respect and like identify with that thought of, you know, you might have had a shitty first quarter, you might have had a shitty second quarter, but you're going to keep grinding, you're going to keep working, you're not going to make it easy. I respect the hell out of that. And every time I watch the Mavericks, I'm just filled with a sense of pride. Pride for my city, pride for my team, because they're putting in that work regardless of the outcome. They're putting in that work. They're going to keep trying, they're going to keep plugging away, and I really respect that, man. I really respect that they put it all out there. They leave it all out there. As they say, as cliche as that sounds, and as many times as people will say that, you know, they really do. I feel like they really do leave it all out there. And what else could you ask for as a sports fan? What more could you ask for? You tried your best. You left it all out there. There was nothing left in the tank. I'm happy. We might have lost, but I'm happy, because that's how I believe it should be. You know, when you go to work tomorrow, you fucking grind it out. It doesn't matter if you're having a shit day. It doesn't matter if you're having a headache. You get through the day and you make it as good as possible. You do your best job possible. So yeah, for that, I will always respect the Mavericks. Just keep playing that way. I mean, you know, if we start mailing it in, I'll have something to say for sure. But yeah, it just seems like, dude, we're going to try. And Luka, with the triple doubles, he has a record now. I think is it 6 in a row? Reach out to me if that's wrong. drinkuntilyoupodcast@gmail.com or on X, formerly Twitter, @drinkuntilyou, Facebook, Instagram, drinkuntilyoupodcast. I think it's 6 in a row, 6 triple doubles in a row, which has never been done before. I know he made history for sure. I'm just not sure if I'm getting the stat right exactly. But good for Luka, man. Like, that's the thing about it. It goes back to like my whole Mike Trout thing. It's like poor Trout is wasting his career. Not to say he's having a bad career. He's having a great career, but he's wasting away in fucking LA, man. Like, it sucks I hope that doesn't happen to Luka. I hope he doesn't waste away here in Dallas and never gets one, because he's performing, man. Like, he's incredible. He's honestly incredible, man. Even listening, like, I didn't even watch the Miami Heat game, but even listening to it on the radio, dude, I was fucking pumped for Luka, like, and Kyrie. I mean, they're doing their thing in tandem. So anyways, keep up the good work, Mavericks. Oh my God, this has gone for an hour. Holy shit. That's it for me, I guess, for the night. Let's go ahead and finish these off. It's going to take me a second. Hang on, everybody. Woo! Ah. A little bit more. Ah. All right, guys. Ah, that's it for me. Thank you guys for listening. As always, I love you all. Be safe out there. Treat yourself to an Uber. Treat yourself to a Lyft. Treat yourself to a DoorDash. You don't even have to get out of your pajamas at that point. They'll bring it to you, leave it on your doorstep, send you the picture that it's there. You just, you know, you barely crack the door so your hand can fit out and grab your bag of shit. You can get as drunk as you want at home. But yeah, just be safe out there, guys. Don't drink and drive. Treat yourself. Do the right thing. Do what you know you should do. Keep it safe. Let's finish these off. Cheers, everybody. All right, guys. I will talk to you next freaking week. I love you all. Be safe. Make it a great week. Talk to you soon.